Welcome to the Days for Girls podcast, a show about breaking barriers for women and girls around the world. I'm your host, Jessica Williams, Chief Communications Officer at Days for Girls International. At Days for Girls, we believe in a world where periods are never a problem. We are on a mission to shatter the stigma and limitations associated with menstruation by increasing access to sustainable period products and menstrual health education for all people with periods. Today's guest is Brian Ford. Brian is the co-founder of For Purpose, a social impact platform that is modernizing what it means to be a philanthropist. For Purpose is a movement where you can surround yourself with people who share the same values, find new ways to leave this world better than you found it, and get the support you need to make your impact dreams a reality. Brian is also the host of a popular self-improvement daily podcast where podcast episodes are just 2 minutes long and help you master self-development. I just love this conversation. We dive into everyday acts of philanthropy and why this matters to making the world a better place. Now let's go on to the show. Brian, welcome to the Days for Girls podcast. How are you today?
Jessica, I'm fantastic. How are you doing?
I'm good. I love interviewing fellow podcasters. I can't even tell you. It's so fun.
Yeah, there's definitely a subculture to it. You understand the grind a little bit, so I can relate.
Yeah, totally, right? And one of the things that I love about you is you're doing all this amazing social impact work, and you're so passionate about social good and helping people amplify the work that they're doing around the world. So I just want to dive straight in today and talk about your work, how you make social impact more approachable to people. So like you work to help people overcome obstacles, like not having the time or money to donate to a nonprofit. Like you say on your website, hey, that shouldn't keep you from making an impact in the world. And I really want to just start there. What do you mean by that? And how do you help people overcome that kind of limitation?
Sure. Yeah. I mean, I think it's all about expectations. You know, when someone steps into any new role or new project or intention, you always want to be kind of the elite or the highest level of whatever you're doing. I think it's just human nature to be competitive in that way. And the same goes for our social impact. You know, someone who wants to get involved, they want to drop their job and go work for them or commit to many hours or, you know, a lot of dollars a month, whatever it might be. And that's just kind of a difficult and ultimately non-sustaining strategy for a lot of people to get involved. When you think about kind of where that comes from, it comes from the example that's been set by traditional media and the definition of what it means to be a philanthropist. And I say philanthropist in air quotes because who is the philanthropist and what is a philanthropist? And at least my generation, what I think of is it's the person that has millions of dollars to donate. Their name is on a building somewhere on a campus or a cancer research center or wherever. And maybe they're on the board of advisors of a nonprofit. And I don't want to belittle the work that a traditional philanthropist is doing because they are making a difference and their commitment to impact is huge, but it's just not necessarily accessible to the everyday person. Yet the everyday person sees that as the paradigm of impact. So when they see their own habits, they see it relative to the headline of the philanthropist. And they're like, well, what I have to offer, it just doesn't feel like enough. I mean, compared to what they're doing, it's not enough. And it almost becomes this binary question of impact being enough. And that's what we're really committed to doing it for purpose, is helping people to recognize that social impact is a full spectrum, that there are big and small ways to get involved. There are traditional and non-traditional ways to get involved, and you're probably doing more that makes a difference in the world than you realized. And it's about changing that label and changing that definition so that we can relate with social impact more productively and effectively. So that's kind of the core ethos of what For Purpose stands for. It's everyday people doing what they can to make a difference in the world. And everyone is celebrated for what they have to offer. So no longer does it become a question of, it's got to be this much to count. It's got to be, you're contributing within your means that much. That's fantastic. Let's let you row alongside people that are paddling the same direction in the cause that you care about. And now let's have this collective impact drive the change that you ultimately want to see. So that's kind of the way that we're trying to think about the social impact sector, and really getting people engaged and involved and recognizing their capabilities to contribute.
Love it. Okay. Let's unpack that a little bit. So I'm a single mom and I work full time. I've got two kids at home, but I really want to participate in the world and contribute and make a difference. What kind of opportunities would she get by, you know, joining forpurpose.com?
Sure. Yeah. So I think the first kind of point there is that with understanding that there is a full spectrum of impact, you know that there are other people that are experiencing the same challenges. You know, someone who is the single mom who's got to work full time, managing the responsibilities of having kids, like where is their time for, you know, your self-care, let alone, you know, prioritizing others beyond your children. And that's where our social impact newsfeed comes in. So we have a database of real examples that real people in the world are doing to do real good. And instead of it being this kind of esoteric or difficult to understand concept of impact, now you can actually look at the faces of people who have shared the real things that they're doing. So, and in that kind of definition of it, it becomes more accessible because you see someone who is volunteering once a month, or you see someone who is donating $10 consistently to a nonprofit that they care about, or you see someone who went out of their way to do a random act of kindness, and that is now being acknowledged. And you recognize that there are times throughout your day when you actually can do a random act of kindness as well. And that comes back to this general idea that impact is more of the lifestyle that you live. It's the way that you buy consciously. It's the way that your profession actually contributes to the world. You know, teachers are social impactors. They might not be labeled as nonprofit professionals, but they are social impactors because they're educating the next generation of youth, right? So there are all these things that we're already doing that are making a difference, but they're not necessarily classified as such. So the first thing that we would do is we would encourage the single mother to say, hey, look, I'm actually doing more than I thought I was. And I can verify that by seeing the things that people are doing on the social impact newsfeed and saying, hey, I've done that, or hey, I can do more of that, right? So it allows the, you know, the individual to put their toe in the water as it relates to growing their philanthropy and growing their impact habits. So that's kind of one side of it. But then also it kind of democratizes the process where no longer is the expectation for the individual to, you know, to pioneer their own campaign or fundraiser for Days for Girls, for example. You know, instead of, you know, doing that large commitment to impact, you can then distill it into, oh, let me support someone else's campaign and fundraiser, and I can be one of the voices that then raises to, you know, deliver support for the cause. So it is that paradigm shifting way of thinking about it, but you know, at the end of the day, it just gets more people taking more positive action. And that's going to bear results no matter what you're doing. So that's kind of the ethos of what For Purpose is meant to do for people in maximizing their impact habits.
I love it. I mean, I remember a time when I definitely had no time and no money, but I cared deeply about the world and I have my whole life. And I was always looking for little ways to, you know, I do small acts of kindness and generosity in my community. So can you give us some examples of some things that you see people are doing on your feed?
Absolutely. Yeah. So it's really fun, honestly, just to kind of see the creative ways that people start getting involved and what they perceive as impact. Because once you kind of break that glass ceiling of, oh, let me think about the breadth of everything that I do and how that drives impact, people get more creative than I could ever be because they know their life better than I do, right? So, you know, we have people reporting everything from, you know, dropping off their compost, you know, to a neighbor who's composting. So it's like, okay, I'm not the one that can actually compost myself, but I've built a relationship with someone who composts. So now I can be more sustainable with my carbon emissions, right? So there's one example of that. And then someone talks about bringing their elderly neighbors trash in every single week because, you know, that's something that would be a big strain for them. And it's so easy for them to do, you know, so just like little examples of just sharing compassionately in the world, you know, it doesn't have to be a traditional application of impact. And when I say traditional, that's, you know, how many dollars did you donate? And how many hours did you volunteer? That's what people have thought of when it comes to, you know, charity and doing good in the world. But then there are those softer, more subtle, more lifestyle based ways to impact as well, which are just, you know, the energy that you put out toward others, the way that you interact with people, the small choices you make. You know, another, you know, we have a bunch of examples of people on the feed who are actually representing brands that they care about that are That either they have sustainable manufacturing processes or, you know, decreased plastic packaging, or they have contribution business models, or even they have diversity and inclusion hiring practices. And just being able to vote with your dollar is impact, right? And we hear that and we say that, but like, understand the value of that. You're actually helping to shape the supply demand curve based on your own consumer habits. It's incredible. And the more people that we get understanding that, yes, this market is dynamic and we can contribute with our own choices, the more change we're going to see on the back end of it, the more accountability there's going to be for these businesses. And then that ends up generating some larger scale change as well, even on a policy level. So that's, you know, that's kind of what the social impact news feed does. Is sure, it takes the formal examples of, you know, you donated this many dollars, you went on this volunteer project. That's all really good and important work. Just like the philanthropist is an important example, don't get me wrong. But there's also this kind of less spoken of example of impact, which is the kind of the subtle things that you can do throughout your day. And that ends up being the lead domino for individuals that want to do more. They then find the more formal resources and they grow in their habits. And it ends up just being an incredible compounding force that brings more good to the world. And we do that together as a community, right? So you're not alone in that effort. And we get, you know, really excited about supporting each other in that effort.
So is one of the things that you think makes it successful is that, you know, instead of having these actions of impact in your personal life and maybe no one knows that you did it, you get to post it on here and there's like visibility. Do you think, I'm just curious if that is part of what you think makes it work, you know, like, because when we donate money, we like to kind of be seen that we're doing good work. It's kind of human nature. And I'm just curious if that's part of what you think works about this.
I am so glad you asked it. And I'm even gladder how you asked it, because like, I could feel that you were uncomfortable bringing up that topic. You know, it's like, oh, it's like, you know, it's social impact. Like it's meant to help others, but it feels good to do. And like, it feels good to be acknowledged. Like we want others to kind of, you know, see us for who we are and for our intentions, but it comes off as it goes the wrong way if I talk about it. Right. Like, and so what you're kind of touching on with that question is actually the core problem that we're looking to solve in the social impact sector, which is that there is this stigma around being more public about the things that you're doing to make a difference. So basically, you know, what we do, and this is to elaborate on what For Purpose does on a functional level. So there's kind of a few different steps to it. The first is what I was describing with the social impact newsfeed. So what that impact newsfeed is it's a safe place for people to report the impact that they're doing. And this is all first party, right? This is me saying, I did this. It's not pointing at, oh, you know, my partner did this or my friend did this. It's you are reporting about yourself. So you're taking ownership of that. And there's a lot of empowerment in that. So that's kind of the first step, is people get to personally acknowledge themselves by reporting within the platform. But then what you're touching on, kind of that more external and social element of it, is the next step. And that's what, so what we do is after someone reports to our impact newsfeed, we create a high quality social media asset on their behalf about their impact, kind of Twitter style, where we've got their headshot, we've got their impact action. We call all of the contributions to the newsfeed impactions because they're impact actions. So we've got a little, you know, feature about their personal impaction. We've got their name, and we actually collect their Instagram handle too. And what that does is it allows us to create a social media asset that we post on our own channels, we put on our own story, and we tag that individual in it. And then now when they want to share about the work that they're doing, for a few reasons, first, there is that like recognition acknowledgement that you were mentioning. But then the second side is you can become a stronger advocate for the causes that you care about in being more vocal about the causes you support. So we enable that comfortable sharing by first posting on our own platform, allowing people to repost. And instead of them raising their hand and saying, hey, look what I did, I donated to Days for Girls, it can say, hey, look, For Purpose featured me on their platform. And what I did was I donated to Days for Girls. And it creates this third party representation of the actual act of philanthropy. And we find that people are much more comfortable sharing in that capacity because they're not saying it about themselves. It doesn't come off as self-promotional. You aren't being judged for doing it for the wrong reasons, because now you're simply sharing something else that someone said about you instead of saying it about yourself. So there is that interesting dynamic in the social impact space that we're absolutely trying to disrupt, because there's no reason why we shouldn't feel good for doing good. We're egocentric beings. Many, if not all of the decisions that we make serve us, and they're meant to serve us. So if we are driving impact and we're getting that psychological, physiological benefit, you know, the dopamine and neurotransmitter kick of giving, which is quantified and true, then we can't feel guilty for doing that. What we should do is reframe that as, either way, I'm going to be making a decision that benefits me. Now I'm also benefiting someone else while I'm benefiting myself. Isn't that just like a better win-win than kind of like the stigma and the, you know, associations and stereotypes of, oh, you shouldn't share or be public about your giving? You know, I'm going off on a tangent here, but it's something I'm really passionate about. And it's kind of one of the critiques that we've noticed as a founding team at For Purpose that we want to really overwrite and kind of establish a new precedent around. So I'm glad that you asked that question.
Good. I want to make this very clear. This is free, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So, all people do, like, walk us through, like, if they want to get involved, what are the steps that they take to post about their impact?
Sure. Yeah. So it takes the individual 90 seconds to report, and then we do all the heavy lifting and hard work. So basically you fill out a customized impact form that can be, you know, specifically around a nonprofit that you support, like Days for Girls. I'll, you know, explain how you can get involved in a little bit through that, or it can be just generally around your habits and how you want to kind of represent the things you care about throughout your life. But the first step is to fill out a 90-second impact form. You tell us the great things that you're doing. You give us some of that personal information so that we have all of the details we need to create the social media asset for you and on your behalf. So once you're done with that, then it comes onto our team and we end up internalizing that information. We upload it to our website. We make sure the quality of everything is good. You know, it's not an open source platform. It's closed source. It's edited. We make sure everything's high quality. And then we go and actually produce the asset. And, you know, a week later, we're posting on our Instagram about your impact and you get to share that. And that's the full life cycle of what the collaboration looks like from a content standpoint. But then, of course, you know, within our community group, we have different events that we put on. We have different, you know, initiatives, missions, you know, workshops, et cetera, that, you know, if you are interested in amplifying your own impact and, you know, beyond the social amplification, but your personal amplification and growing your habits, then we have resources and community and support that will help you to explore some of those new elements. So there's kind of that two-factor approach. But yeah, what I described previously was more of the content share model, which makes it easy for anyone to be represented on our Instagram and also on the impact news feed that we host on our website.
Love it. Okay. So I can hear, like, there's got to be a listener out there and she's saying, but Brian, how do you make money then? So tell us about that. Like, what else are you doing? Is this your main gig? You know, what's the incentive for you to do this?
Sure. Yeah. I mean, my personal mission motivation around this is a longer answer to the question that you asked, so I won't go into it, but it comes out of a lot of the privilege that I grew up with and just recognizing that there is a strong opportunity gap between the resources and opportunities I have access to based on the lottery of life where I was born versus many people in the world. And I know Days for Girls very much addresses that same opportunity gap, you know, so that's why I'm personally drawn to the mission. But from a kind of a financial and monetary standpoint, there's kind of two ways to answer that. The first is my personal income, and I have projects and jobs and everything outside of this. So right now, you know, I do not have an income being pulled from For Purpose, nor do I want one. You know, this is something that is organic, and I don't want it to be, you know, I don't want the pressure to be there for me to rely on it for income. So I feel like that's kind of a blessing that I actually have in being able to, you know, create this, you know, this kind of initiative as I want it to. But then, you know, that's not obviously sustainable in the long term if I want this to be a multi-decade long organization and project. So the core business model of For Purpose will be, once our community grows and we have enough people sharing the impact that they're doing in the world, which is happening fast, once we get to that point where we have a strong community that's engaged and wants to make a difference, then we can point people in the direction of conscious brands and resources and help facilitating transactions where people can actually execute on their desire to impact, and they can buy from conscious brands and, you know, get, you know, their home supplies or their hygienic goods or whatever it might be from a more conscious brand. And, you know, we'd be able to almost have an affiliate model built into that transaction, you know? So there is a larger kind of, you know, marketplace that we're looking to create. And of course, what I've described as For Purpose is only the first of, you know, it's 1% of 100% of what we're trying to get to, but you got to start somewhere. But, you know, we're going to have an independent business model because if we want to ethically be sustainable, we need to be able to, you know, fund ourselves. So, of course, that needs to be built into our plan because it is a for-profit. It is not a nonprofit, but it's a benefit corporation. So it's a for-purpose for-profit. But yeah, so there's that. But then on kind of the personal side, yes, I do have my, you know, my own jobs and I've got a podcast, and it's something that it all just kind of ties in really nicely. And I'm really aligned and grateful for what I do.
Yeah. I mean, there definitely is a through line of impact and purpose and meaning and making the world a better place for you across all the things that you're doing. So let's talk about the other stuff. So people kind of get a, like, who is Brian? You know, so you got the podcast, you've done a TED talk. You're a really interesting person. And I,
thanks.
So tell us about the podcast. First, let's start there.
Sure. Yeah. So the podcast is called Self-Improvement Daily. I've been doing it for just over 3 years. And instead of it being a traditional, you know, kind of interview-based podcast like this, you know, which there are so many subjects that need to be covered and there's a lot of value to that. But I want to do something differently because I actually, you know, enter the podcasting space from more of an interest of learning kind of the audio marketing space, specifically smart home technologies. So my podcast for that reason is every single day and only 2 minutes long. So it's Self-Improvement Daily. It's 2 minutes. You can build it into your routine. And the intention there was smart home technologies have different news briefings. And if you want to have new content to offer every single day, then it's got to be consistent. And if it's going to be consistent, it can't be long, right? So that kind of chose my format, which is unique, but it's been an absolute blessing for me because it's held me accountable to my own personal development, to trying new things and just to kind of build in some of that self-growth that I'm looking to do on a daily basis. But essentially, you know, Self-Improvement Daily, every day, 2 minutes around a personal development approach, exercise, observation I had. It's a new mentality. It's someone featuring someone else. You know, I do have interviews that I do every other week, but ultimately it's just been the most digestible form of personal development that I've ever come across. And a lot of people have, you know, been able to just slowly work their way toward a more actualized self because it's something that they can do every single day. It's not an overwhelming task. And that's something that I really pride myself on doing is distilling large, difficult concepts and topics and making them 2 minutes long so that you can get just straight to the heart of what you need to know. And then you can start personally relating to it however you need to. So that's what Self-Improvement Daily is positioned to do. And it's been an incredible journey of meeting, you know, authors and leaders and, you know, world changers that I have no business talking to ever. But then on a podcast, you know, it's a totally different game. So that's Self-Improvement Daily in a nutshell.
Yeah. Awesome. And you have a lot of episodes on there, right?
I do. Yeah. Well, 3 years, every single day, it starts to add up.
Yeah. How many episodes is that now?
I'm above 500 for sure. I'm not sure. I don't really keep track of my download statistics or my play or my, you know, like episode counts or stuff like that. It's just more a process and something I maintain for the benefits of doing it. So I don't have a good answer to that.
Okay. I love it every day. That's some commitment to podcasting. Even for 2 minutes. Okay. So you also did this really cool TED talk about, the power of story in your life. And I don't want to create a spoiler. So I'm going to let you tell it just like the high level overview of your TED talk. Cause it's really fun. Everybody should watch it and we'll definitely put it in the show notes, but tell us what kind of your key message is there. Do a 2 minute like synopsis. You're really good at that, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I do it all the time. Yeah. So, the TED talk is called Do It for the Story. And essentially it was born out of an emphasis or an intention that I set with one of my high school friends around just like this feeling that we were going through the motions, just kind of letting life pass us by. We wanted to really squeeze life for everything that it had. And Do It for the Story was our accountability to say like, oh, am I going to do this or am I not going to do it? Okay, I'm going to do it for the story because every time you put yourself out there, there is a story. Something happens, it leaves some impression and it ends up just being, you know, value added to your life. So in the TED talk, I talk about a few different examples of how Do It for the Story actually created incredible outcomes and opportunities in my life that seemingly came out of nothing. And that's because the Do It for the Story mentality is all about stepping into foreign situations where you don't know how things are going to go. Your expectations aren't really set, but you're just in this mode to receive. You're willing to let the event or the circumstances kind of just go on as they're meant to without your intervention. And when you're in that crazy mode of receiving and just openness, then you'll encounter incredible opportunities that were right in front of your nose the entire time, but you never would have thought to listen or actually see them because they were lost in just the mess of life that exists around you. So it ends up, you know, kind of actually coming full circle in that the very reason that I earned the opportunity to speak on a TEDx stage was because I said yes to doing something for the story. And literally, I tell myself verbatim, if there's this kind of decision I'm making, should I do it or should I not do it? I'm like, yes, I'm going to do it for the story. And then I go there and I have a great attitude and crazy things happen because it's just the intention that you set when you go there. But it ended up kind of getting personal too. And, you know, you might hear this at the end, which is, you know, the individual that I started to do it for the story with, he passed away young when he was 23 years old, which is, you know, obviously unfortunate. And he's one of my best friends from high school. And it's something that, you know, his legacy, I feel like, has just left an impression on me. And do it for the story has become, you know, my relationship with him, you know, beyond the time that we spent together. So it's something that I'm really proud to continue carrying on. His name is Dan, but on his behalf, and to continue living that way, because it has just brought so much value to my life. And it's something that I encourage other people to embrace.
Yeah, I really like it. When I was watching it, I was thinking, this is kind of how I've lived my life, but you say it, it's such a sweet little way. And so I really enjoyed that.
Thank you.
Yeah. Okay. So I'm going to pivot and get a little personal. I am just curious where this drive and this passion comes from to make a difference in the world. Is this something you've always kind of had within you since you were young?
Yeah. I mean, I grew up an athlete, so I've always had some kind of ambition. And, you know, if people talk about their superpowers, I feel like one of my superpowers, or my superpower, is discipline. You know, I've been able to just kind of set a task and get it done my entire life. And that's been able to help me succeed in a few different areas. But I think the combination of that discipline and consistency and taking action on things that I care about needs to be paired with the inspiration. And I was alluding to it earlier, but the inspiration, you know, through the privilege that I kind of benefited from as a kid, and just the opportunities that I had growing up in California and Orange County, which is a nice area, you know, it didn't have to be that way. And in fact, I recognize that the reason it was that way was because of the sacrifices and contributions of my grandpa. So my mom's father, who, you know, he grew up in the Bronx. He was the youngest of seven kids, didn't know his father. His mom was bedridden sick his entire life. So he was really raised on the streets. But he ended up earning a full ride dual sport scholarship to Harvard to play baseball and basketball, graduated magna cum laude, earned a Fulbright scholarship, and ended up, you know, commercializing coffee from South America in the United States in a way that generated a lot of wealth for my family. So my position in life was, you know, in response to the success that he was able to generate and how he was able to create so much impact, you know, family impact, but then also, you know, just relationships through his efforts, that I have this really deep sense of gratitude for his sacrifices. And ultimately, I feel this really deep sense of wanting to do him proud, because I know how smart he passed when I was young, you know, 9-10 years old. So I have memories of him, but I don't obviously have the full depth of the relationship that I would hope to have given the crazy influence that he has on my life. But that is my core inspiration, is really recognizing that, you know, the opportunity that I inherited was because of the sacrifices of others. And there are so many people that are living and growing up like my grandpa did, where they don't necessarily have access to everything and they're doing their best. And I really feel called to help bridge that opportunity gap and to help others access the things that they need in order to fully actualize and become, you know, the person that they deserve to be and that they can be, and that there are certain barriers that exist that don't need to be there. And if I can be, you know, playing my own role in helping to overcome those barriers or provide solutions to those barriers, then I feel like that's the best thing that I could do out of respect for my grandfather and how he struggled but made it through those similar barriers. So that's what really kind of lights me up. And I think it's fueled by gratitude, but also acknowledgement of responsibility too. I feel very strongly that, you know, my grandpa is with me and that I want to do him proud and make the most of everything that he did for me.
Yeah. Thanks for sharing that. So Brian, before we go, where can people, like, what's the website, the social media, all the stuff, give it to us and we'll put it in the show notes.
Sure. Yeah. So check out For Purpose. You know, if any of what I mentioned resonated with you, you know, the idea that yes, you can make a difference, and yes, there are other people that are figuring it out. You don't have to feel like you're completely making the difference you're meant to make overnight, right? It's a process and it takes time, but the first action step is the only way to get there. And that's what we're committed to it for a purpose, is teaching you what those different first steps might look like, and taking those steps alongside you and holding your hand through them. So go ahead and visit, you know, www.forpurpose.com. That's where you can just kind of get a general vibe of everything that we're up to. But in particular, if you want to have your voice heard in support of Days for Girls, because what we do is, you know, if we create this content and we're creating more visibility and exposure for causes you care about, and Days for Girls is a cause that you care about, I actually prepared a custom impact form for you to be able to reflect specifically on how you've contributed or been involved in big and small ways to Days for Girls, so that we can amplify that and make more people aware of Days for Girls as an organization as well. So the link for that is bit.ly/DFG-forpurpose, F-O-R-purpose. So it's probably easiest to just go into the show notes to check that one out. But that's definitely the best way to get involved, because then you'll see firsthand the impact that you can have in sharing the things that you're already doing. And then it'll inspire you to get more involved, whether that be through Days for Girls or other other causes that you care about and organizations that you support.
Awesome. Thanks for putting that together for our audience. Really appreciate that.
Of course. Happy to. I'm really inspired by what you guys are doing. And again, you know, this is my way of contributing, is trying to help be the conduit to helping raise voices and really encourage and empower people to be the inspiration that brings other people to the cause.
Awesome. Brian, thanks so much for your time. Thanks for coming on the show.
Thank you so much, Jessica. I enjoyed it.
The Days for Girls podcast is produced by Days for Girls International. For show notes and resources mentioned in this episode, visit daysforgirls.org/podcast. If you'd like to support the work we do on the show, leave a rating or a review wherever you listen. Subscribe to the show and share episodes on social media or with your friends. To learn more about Days for Girls and to join our global movement, please visit daysforgirls.org. Thank you for listening. See you next time.